Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 2nd, 2011, episode 154, sponsored by Audible. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, this is going to be one of those shows where, you know, we're gonna take you to the top and then bring you back down, and then take you back up to the top of the mountain and bring you back down. We're going to start out with some kind of sad news, actually. Obviously, the whole Boyd Martin Troop Prospect Farm fire is a big topic of conversation right now around equine water coolers. If you have a water cooler at your barn. And Chris, actually, from the Eventing Radio Show, got to speak with Boyd, and we've got a couple minutes of that conversation, so we're going to play that for you here in just a second. And, you know, we're not quite sure. The first guest that's calling at 9:15, I have not told Glenn who it is, because it's somebody that wanted to talk to him.
Killing me!
And I'm just not going to tell you who it is, because this person really... really wants to have a conversation with you. So that's going to happen at 9:15. And then...
You didn't tell me that part. All you said is having... You didn't say anything about really wants to have a conversation with you. That's new to me.
I've told you nothing. So that's going to happen at 9:15, whether you like it or not. And you're going to have to sit here and you're going to have to listen to it. Got it?
Okay, I guess I don't have a choice, do I?
Oh, yeah. So, well, why don't we get this out of the way? Not any disrespect. It's just so unbelievably sad. Let's go ahead and play the Chris and Boyd interview. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll continue to move on throughout the day. So, Glenn, do you want to do that right now?
Yeah, before I play it, let's just, for anybody that's been under a rock, for the last couple of days, Boyd Martin, the eventer, had a fire at his barn a couple days ago. Six horses died in that fire, event horses, some of his students' horses, and some of his horses, as well as others. And there were four or five that ended up at New Bolton at the hospital for smoke inhalation. And you're going to hear him talk about one of his horses in here in this clip. And that was the horse he is talking about. Was his Rolex horse and the horse he went to the World Equestrian Games with. This is kind of tough to listen to because it's obviously a very emotional time, but he wanted to have an opportunity to say thank you to everybody because, you know, the world has rallied around him, especially the eventing world, and he's getting a lot of support, and he and his whole team, it's not just him. But so this is the interview, and we'll be back. It's about 2 minutes long, and then we'll be back right after that.
Well, Boyd, thank you for spending time to talk to us. What must be one of the hardest times of your life, obviously, our sincere condolences to everything that you've been through and when your losses. I'd love to get an update from you, and I know that your fans around the world would love to hear from you.
It's pretty tough, Chris. Obviously, you know, what do you say? You half your life disappears overnight. Wonderful.
Yeah. You've obviously got the support of a lot of people, not just in the eventing community, but way beyond, Boyd.
Well, it's amazing how many people have, you know, I've probably got 120 unreplied texts on my phone and thousands of emails. Yeah, and like you know, There's a lot of good things came out of it too. There was a lot of heroic actions made by people saving horses, and it could have been worse.
And tell us how the horses are at the moment, Boy, the ones that are still...
There's five that were rescued. They're all at New Bolton Centre. One got out this morning. And three are in intensive care. Neville Spada's probably the worst. He was the one stuck in there the longest. And he's got burnt, you know, smoke inhalation, and his throat's all burnt out. They just don't know. I think he survived, but they just don't know if his lungs will be as good anymore.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, and obviously he's getting the best possible care in New Bolton Centre. Wonderful to have those facilities so close to you that you were able to take all those horses there for the best care in the world, really.
Yeah.
And how are Caitlin and Lillian and Ryan doing now? I know that they were heroic too.
Yeah, everyone's having a pretty hard time, and just keep going, I suppose.
Yeah, well, you've got the most amazing support, Boyd, around the world, and certainly anything that we can do to help you obviously recover from this tragedy, and in raising funds to support obviously all your team as well and the losses that they've incurred during this. And we will be putting links out there. We are promoting every possible way that we can to raise funds for you, and obviously to raise as much money as we can into supporting your recovery from this, Boyd. And I know it's a very, very hard time, and I really appreciate you spending time to talk to your many fans around the world. Thank you so much.
Thanks to everyone for all the support.
Woo!
I told you.
I don't think I can listen to a man cry. Especially talking about his horses. Good Lord, that's tough. That's tough, and oh my gosh, poor thing. I read his blog this morning. All you have to do is just Google Boyd and Silva Martin. Their blog will pop up, and just the brutal honesty and what he has to talk about. And he says, I don't want to write this at all, but I do feel like I owe it to every single person that has been coming out in support for us. So it is very sad, and you know, there's again, Facebook pages dedicated to this, and you can find any information online, and we've posted on our Facebook page how you can help. So, for Boyd and the entire family surrounding them, we're just so sorry. What do you say? You know.
Do you know you can't say much more than that about it. It's just, you know, you said it all. Yesterday, you know, this all happened at the same time that we were planning the Horse World Gives Back campaign to help all of those many families that have been affected by the tornadoes and floods all across the country. And then yesterday, last night, one of the most bizarre things through all this spring weather is that four people died in tornadoes in Massachusetts last night. Springfield,
wow.
The city where they have the equine fair, that, you know, anybody in New England knows where that is because they go to equine fair. I don't think there's any horses in Springfield itself, but that's where the fairgrounds is. And the tornado went right through downtown and turned over cars. People on the highways, you know, had their cars turned over. They were rescuing people from trucks and cars and buildings destroyed and trees down. There were six tornadoes that touched down in Massachusetts last night. They don't get tornadoes.
When did Massachusetts ever get tornadoes?
Never. It just doesn't happen. And they weren't prepared. The tornado warnings went out. But, you know, you live up there. You don't think of it. You get thunderstorms all the time. See, you don't think about it. You just don't think about it. So, you know, you're just not prepared like they are other places in the country. Now, I was texting my friend John, who he and his family – He follows us all the time in our tornadoes and warnings and things. So he was in the basement because he knew that the warnings were out there. So we were texting during it. And as he said, I've never seen it so dark as it was at 5 o'clock last night. He's never seen dark like that during the day. So there were hail everywhere. It was bad storms. It actually, the storms were the entire size north to south of the state. They were that wide. So, you know, it goes on. That's why we're doing the Horse World Gives Back campaign, is to help people who have been affected. You know, boy, it's interesting because you think about the Red Cross. I was there yesterday getting ready. We're going to be broadcasting there on Monday night from the Red Cross office. Janie, you know, most people don't realize that the number one thing that disaster that the Red Cross responds to is not hurricanes. It's not tornadoes. It's not floods. It's fires. It's family fires. Account for 80% of the responses across the country every year from the Red Cross are the family fires.
You're kidding me. I mean, it kind of seems that would make sense to me because the Red Cross is first on the scene for anything. They're always there. The second thing is, if you watch your local news, you'll see how many fires happen in people's homes all the time. So those two things... That's surprising to me because we did some rescue at Hurricane Katrina, and you could not go 5 feet without seeing somebody from the Red Cross. We are standing outside where we did some animal rescue, and the amount of Red Cross people, I mean, they would just show up and bring ice. They're like, you guys look hot. You need ice. And then they go to the next place, and then they come back with water. You know, it's just an amazing organization. And, you know, I know you've been a part of it. And it's a worthy cause, that is for sure. And they help people all the time. I did not know fires, excuse me, was their number one thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, the things that we would respond to, I've been out a few nights, were fires mostly. So anyway, we're going to be here Monday night for Horse World Gives Back. And we are going to be with you for, it sounds like I need to call back, Janie. Is that what it sounds like?
It sounds okay to me.
Okay, because Jennifer's saying I'm a little wishy, so I'm going to call back, and then we'll take your mystery guest for the day. We'll do our daily winnies, and then we'll take the mystery guest.
Sounds good. While you're calling back, why don't Jennifer tell us actually what's coming up on today's show? Oh, Jennifer's not here. Okay, I'll tell you what's coming up on today's show. We've got the mystery guest, and then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have the Chronicle of the Horse. They always call in on today. Used to be Fridays, but I don't think they could take us anymore on Fridays. So Chronicle Report at 10, and then after that, of course, the greatest segment ever in Horse Radio Network history, the interpretive reading of Black Beauty. That will be happening. That will be happening very soon.
If you need a good nap, tune in about 10:15.
Uh-huh. Keep talking. You'll see what I'm talking about coming up here in a minute. All right.
Is it daily winning time?
Go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Daily Winnie today. Mine goes out to Eco Gold. Eco Gold has come through this week, and if you're ever going to submit a really bad ad, you need to do it today. Our really bad ad segments on Friday have gotten very popular. What we're looking for is Craigslist ads, online ads, anything to do with horses or hay or farms, but it's really badly written, or it's just terrible, or whatever, you know, it's just an awful ad for whatever reason. We want you to submit the worst ones you can find. Submit them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And Eco Gold has come through with, get this, Jamie, a memory foam triple protection half pad, one of their famous half pads. And they have a great video online. You can watch it. It talks about how much protection they give. They put M&Ms in it, and then they beat it with – they put, you know, in between the pad, and then they beat it with a hammer. And you can see that the M&Ms aren't even crushed. It's really – worth
$165. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a $165 pad we're giving away tomorrow.
Yeah, I found a couple funny ones. And by the way, I'd like to mention, too, that now I have moved on from Craigslist to DreamHorse.com. Fantastic ads. I mean, because they're free, and the people that don't spend the money on the pictures don't spend the money on spell check. So I would like to tell you that I have found some on DreamHorse.com, and I will be sending them to my non-horsey friends to submit so I can try to win that half pad. How can I not get that half pad? I want it so bad, and I submit ads every week, Glenn. This is not fair.
Friends and family and employees of the Horse Radio Network are not eligible to win the memory foam triple protection half pad worth $165 from EcoGold.
What a cool prize. Yeah, definitely get your ads in. It's always entertaining and fun. And if we don't read it this week, we may read it next week. We have tons coming in, shockingly enough, for this half pad.
Yes, it's surprising how that motivated people. My second daily Winnie goes out to my friend Dale Hodge, who I went to school with. Remember, he called us out of the blue a little while back, and then he was commenting on a story we did, and then he said, oh, I went to school with you 30 years ago, and we graduated together, hadn't talked to him for 30 years. Well, we've been chatting ever since that phone call, Jamie. He is a square dance caller. First of all, before he said that, I didn't know people still square danced. But
I love square dancing. I love it, love it, love it. Oh, my gosh, I love it. It's like, it's more fun than Zumba. Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't know that about you. Well, you're going to love this because Dale is apparently very well known. He's one of the square dance callers, and apparently in square dancing, you could tell me better than I know, is the caller is very important because either makes it a good night or a boring night. You know, the callers
swing
are
your partner round and round. You know what, I'm going to actually be honest. I haven't square danced since I was like 13. In school, but it was way fun then.
Well, Dale,
yes,
contacted me. He has a daughter that's into horses, and he contacted me after that and said, you know, I've been listening to your show. He loves the morning show, and he wanted to start his own. There apparently there's no podcast, no online radio shows for square dancing. So I've been helping him out and chatting with him and giving him some pointers, and he has his first show out now. It's at SquareDanceRadioNetwork.com. How cool is that?
Glenn, you're totally just giving us more competition.
I doubt any advertisements for Square Dance are going to be the same as for this. I doubt it.
People are going to quit listening to us, and now they're going to go over to the Square Dance Radio Network. Thanks a lot.
You think he do-si-dos like in the intro? That's like a call. I have to listen to it and see. But his daughter just graduated from high school, too, and she is going to college next year in Maryland for equestrian studies. So congratulations to Dale Hodge's daughter, too. Good job, Dale. And now it's your turn.
Listen, I didn't – when I made up this Daily Winnie, I didn't know I was already going to cry once in today's episode. So I'm just going to zip through this real quick. Barbara Evans, I told you. She says, Jamie, I watched Ruffian last night. You were right. It is very sad. You probably weren't born yet, but I remember that race and how devastated everyone was. It was years before I could watch another race. Listen, Barbara, I told you. Just to let you people know out there that if you're going to watch the movie Ruffian, make sure it is when you are all alone in your house or with just another horsey girlfriend and you don't have anything to do for like a month. Because you're going to have puffy eyes and cry for about a month when you see that movie. It was the saddest movie I have ever seen. Yes, I was not born. Ruffian died in 1975. But, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, it is the saddest thing ever. But, again, ladies like to cry, so it can be very cathartic. But told you so, Barbara. Okay, I got another one. Y'all sick of hearing that Winnie? All right, this goes out to two people, and it's a negative daily Winnie to one. Yesterday, while I was reading Black Beauty online, and this is also going to set us up for our next guest, while I was reading Black Beauty online, Glenn, you were really nasty, and you were like, oh, I'm falling asleep, this is so boring, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Cynthia Torres posts online, I like being read to. And Michelle says, Jamie, I loved it. And Tom Rittenhouse says, thanks, thankfully, I listened to the podcast so I can fast forward through it. So I would like to, my daily Winnie goes to Cynthia and Michelle. Thank you guys for your support. And the other portion of that is I got a phone call yesterday telling me what a fantastic job I did reading this book. This person was like, Jamie, I cannot believe how good it sounded. I thought it was so fantastic. It took me right back to childhood. I loved listening to it. And Glenn needs to shut up and let you read. And that person...
I did not interrupt you once during that.
You didn't. I would like to say good morning to my mother. Hello, Mother.
Hello, Jamie.
Oh, no. You got Mom on to call me out today?
You betcha. I've got to put my 2 cents worth in.
Go, Mom. Just go. Take it.
First, I agree with Jamie. And if you care anything about horses at all, Black Beauty is a given. You know, you've got to read it. At first, I thought about Jamie reading a page a day. That was going to get a little boring. But now I realize a chapter at a time. And I've been a horse lover since birth. And when I was a teenager, I rode horses anytime I could scrape up $1.25. I lied to my father and told him it was only a dollar. But I loved horses. And when I was in college, I started riding at a little place called Oak Hill Hunt Club, and they had horses from 1 to 10, and I started riding the one horse and ended up, and it was dressage, and it was jumping, and I loved it. But I soon realized that I could afford a horse. I just couldn't afford to keep a horse. So mm-hmm. I gave it up, and about a dozen years later, I gave birth to my 3 beautiful children, and Jamie just had it in her. You know, from day one. And I used to read this book to her. I mean, she loved this book. She loved, of course, horses. And every report that she ever did in school was about horses. One day, one of her teachers said, Jamie, you can't write about horses anymore. So that year, we did it on Stone Mountain, the flora, the fauna, and the horses that were, you know, etched on the mountain. So anyway, you've heard a little bit about the background here, and I was listening to yesterday's show when Jamie started reading it. I loved your banner. I thought it was cute, pretending, or at least Jamie thought you were asleep, and you didn't interrupt her. I did not.
You have to
give me credit. No, you did not. No. But now you need to listen to this wonderful story. I'm already hooked on the book again, as I'm sure your listeners are, as Jamie just said. I probably read this book. Oh, I don't know how many times, but I do have to admit it also makes great bathroom reading. So, Jamie,
gross, Mom.
Well, it does. A chapter at a time. Jamie has brought life to this wonderful story once again, and I'm still blown away that this little girl of mine is so talented. Give her a break, Glenn. I could hardly
yes,
wait for the next edition.
My mommy called in to yell at you. She did not like you. Saying you didn't like the reading, you like the book.
Being mean to my daughter.
I pay your daughter every week.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good
thing. That was the only thing I could think of. actually, Jamie knows that I love coming. I love talking to her every morning. I kind of miss her on Saturdays and Sundays. I know she doesn't miss me, but I really do kind of miss her on Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, you know, y'all just have such a light wonder. I mean, you have some dark moments, but you laugh all the time. You know, it's just fun. It's a fun show.
Well,
and I
thank
listen
you.
Every morning. I just had
okay,
to get my
so now,
computer fixed.
All right, now we're going to put Jamie on mute.
Okay.
And then I can ask you the serious questions that she was stupid enough to bring you on the show. So was she a rotten little child?
No. All three of my kids were great. Never terrible twos, never gave me any trouble at all. They fought squabbles some amongst themselves, as, you know, as siblings do. But, no, they were great. Jamie was a wonderful child.
She wasn't annoying.
Still is.
All of that stuff.
Huh?
She didn't annoy you all the time? Or,
oh, no,
no.
I was late in life having children, and I enjoyed every minute of having my children.
All right. Well,
no problem.
I'm not getting anything here, Jamie. What did you warn her that I was going to be questioning her about your childhood?
Glenn, this is why I did not tell you who the guest was, so you did not have a bunch of ammo and questions available. And Mother, thank you so much for skipping over the 15 and 16 and 17-year-old years of my life and saying I was wonderful. I'm glad you've forgotten about those. So fantastic.
Well, I only remember the good.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Well, this is great. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Well, it's nice talking to you, too. I hope to go out and see Jamie in the next month so I can listen to y'all banter in person.
Well, actually, we're talking about going out in the fall when it's a little cooler than 125 degrees in the shade.
That's true.
Yeah. So we're talking about the fall, going out to visit her, and she promised us a ride up to the Grand Canyon because we've not seen the Grand Canyon yet.
First time Jamie and I ever saw the Grand Canyon was by helicopter with earphones on with the High and the Mighty playing. You remember that song?
Yes.
Yes, and I mean, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me as far as going out west and seeing things.
However,
you remember
mother,
that, Jamie?
Yeah, but you can't do that anymore. They shut down the helicopter rides through the canyon because so many people were killed. So we're lucky
we made it
alive.
Right, well, we made it.
I did do that, too. I did that. Jennifer doesn't like helicopters, so she didn't go along, but I did. I ate breakfast at the bottom of the canyon. We flew out of Vegas and had breakfast at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, me and these two girls from Japan who barely spoke English.
Oh, wow.
On the helicopter ride, but that was fun. Our helicopter pilot was a ex-Vietnam vet. He flew helicopters in Vietnam, and he looked at me as we were going across the desert, and he looked at the two girls from Japan, and I don't think they understood what he asked, because he said, you know, are you guys up for some fun? And they were like, sure, you know? And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And he took us on a wild ride across the desert. It was fun. He got to play that day.
Well, I just took a helicopter ride a couple days ago. We have the, every year it's called the Crab Festival, the Blue Crab Festival here in Palatka. And they had a helicopter.
Time out. Let everybody know where you live. My mother lives in East Palatka, Florida. If you've never heard of it, it has the world's largest slaughterhouse.
It used to, Jamie.
Oh, okay. It's closed down now. So not only did it have the world's largest slaughterhouse, it couldn't even stay in business. So, East Palatka, Florida.
Right. We're about 20 miles west of St. Augustine. So that gives you a little...
That's pretty part of Florida there.
Yeah, we live on the river, and the river's about 2 miles across at our house. So, I mean, it's like looking at the ocean.
Your fellow Floridian just posted on our Facebook page, Rick Connolly, said, he wrote, just say yes, ma'am, Glenn. Apparently he thinks that that's all I should say today is yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Yep.
Let me tell you real quick. I got on a helicopter at this fair. It cost me $10 for a 2-minute ride.
Oh, jeez.
That was a waste of money. To, no, it wasn't. Because, I mean, you know, when you're up there, you had a full minute to see the river and how it snaked around. It was wonderful. It was worth every penny of the $10.
Yeah, I'd get my money back.
I remember on the way back to Vegas on our helicopter ride there, he flew us around the Stratosphere. That's the tall tower that has the roller coasters and stuff on top in Vegas. And he flew us around the top of it. And he said, I flew helicopters in Vietnam. I've flown helicopters ever since. I will not go on that roller coaster.
Yeah.
That convinced me that I wasn't going on that roller coaster. There was no question after that. He wasn't going, I wasn't going.
That's my God. That roller coaster is awesome.
Did you do it?
Heck yeah. I think at some point you become unconscious on it, which is awesome.
I think you have to at some point. They have a new one there. Have you been there since the new one on top of the Stratosphere where it's a... how long have I been doing the Horse Radio Network? And I still forget to turn my phone off. Hold on.
I want to give you this, Glenn. What on earth? How did we get to talk about this phone call, Glenn, was set up so my mother could call you and tell you to shut up about Black Beauty and listen.
Okay, well, now you shut up and listen to this. So there's this new ride off of, I saw it last year, off of the stratosphere. It's this car that it sits pointing up. And you get in the car, and then the car extends out over the edge of the stratosphere 100 stories up and points you straight down and slides about 10 feet to a stop as you're hanging off the side of the stratosphere looking almost straight down.
I'd just be dead by then. I'd have a heart attack.
It was bizarre. You should have heard the people screaming on that ride. There was some serious screaming.
I think that sounds awesome.
I don't even like the merry-go-round. I like anything that goes up and down, like parachute, you know. Up and down is fine, but round just doesn't cut it for me.
And
I'll tell you what,
it's Florida Day. Aaron Gilmore just posted enjoying the AC in your show from South Florida at home this morning. Well, hi, Aaron.
Oh, hi.
I'll tell you what, you brought all your friends along today, Mom.
Yeah, well, today's my anniversary. Larry and I have been married 10 years.
Well, congratulations.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Thanks. I forgot about it.
This is the most random
thing. That's for your anniversary.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you all, every one of you that clapped and yelled.
Well, thank you so much for calling us.
Well, I just today, I want you to behave, Glenn.
Okay, I'll try. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Oh, yes, ma'am. You got it. All right. It was great talking to both of you.
Bye, Mommy. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mom.
Bye.
Bye.
You set me up.
It's what you get. It's what you get. talking trash about her daughter on the air. My mom is going to call you, and she will tell you to just hush. You just hush, and you just sit down and hush.
She does not have the southern accent that your daddy does.
My mother only says certain words, and now that she's gone, I can make fun of her. She only says certain words in southern accent. Like, there's no words that have a proper ending. Like, there's no words that end in W or R. So if you were going to go to sleep at night, you lay your head down on your pillow. And then when you get up in the morning, you go and look in the mirror. And then when you look outside, you look through the window. It drives me crazy. It's a window. It's a pillow. Okay.
All right. We're going to be back. We have some news we want to cover today that has come up over the last day that we thought was interesting. We want to chat with you a little bit about. And first, we're going to talk about our sponsor for today's show is Audible.com. Audible is something that Jennifer and I have been subscribed to and a member since 2004. We have listened to over 100 books on Audible. And, of course, Audible is the source for all of the audiobooks. They have 85,000 titles to choose from. If you're into books but you don't have time to sit down and open a hard paper book and read it, Audible is your solution. You can listen while you drive. We're going to be doing that next week. We have a 6-hour drive down to Graceland for our show on Friday morning. So we'll have our Audible books queued up, and we'll be listening. So we want you to do the same thing. We want you to have the same enjoyment. As I said, they have everything from thrillers to business to romance to sci-fi, a lot of books on animals. And you can play these on your iPhone, your Kindle, over 500 devices, MP3 players, iPods, doesn't matter. It probably plays on your device. We just love these books. We can't recommend them enough. And one of the nice things that Audible did for the listeners of the Horse Radio Network is they gave us a free audiobook. You can try a free audiobook download with their 14-day free trial, and it gives you a chance to check out the service and how it works and to see if you like it. And you can do that by going to audibletrial.com/HRN. Audibletrial.com/HRN. It's in our show notes at Horses in the Morning. You'll find it there to download your free audiobook today. So give it a try. We would love you to check out Audible. I think you'll like it. Jennifer and I, as a matter of fact, Jennifer, we're going to have to sit down and decide what book we want to get for the trip. And they have books anywhere from 6 hours to, I think Jennifer and I, we listened to one time that was like 24, 25 hours, wasn't it? It was long
It was a really,
hook.
Really, really fat book. Yeah.
Yes,
that's
it was.
The one where we drove through Washington, D.C. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. One of the problems that you're going to have when you do Audible books is that you're going to get so absorbed in it, especially when you're driving. We were on our way back from Florida, and the trip went so fast with the Audible book. We ended up driving right through the middle of Washington, D.C. I missed a turn. We didn't even realize we were at Washington, D.C. We saw the monument, and we went, why are we seeing the monument? We shouldn't be seeing the monument. And sure enough, we were in downtown Washington, D.C., so we turned off the audiobook, got out of town, turned it back on because it was so good, got to Baltimore, did the same darn thing. We ended up in downtown Baltimore because we were so absorbed in the book. We ended up having to drive through Baltimore City to get back out of the city, and then we vowed to never again, when we get near cities, keep the audible book going.
These are not stories you should tell people.
But it's true. God. It's a true story.
All right, let's do some news. We got to rein this puppy in a little bit here. I would like to mention that we are 8 friends away from 2,500 Facebook friends. So if
Woo-hoo!
Anybody can send this out to 8 people, I would really appreciate it. Tell 8 of your friends to come like us on Facebook, and we'll hit 2,500. That's a milestone, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally is.
Every 100th a milestone, in my opinion.
I remember when we had 12, so this is awesome.
I know.
Well, a little bit of news for you, Glenn. Tell everybody about the – kind of give us a Dennis Quaid update.
Ah, Dennis Quaid. You know how on the morning show here, regular listeners will know, we love to follow the celebrity ranch equestrian properties that come up for sale. Well, you can get a bargain right now. It was just announced yesterday that Dennis Quaid's Los Angeles Equestrian Retreat has been cut in price by $3 million. It is now affordable for everyone that might have won the lottery last night, because it was up to $200 million, and I didn't check my tickets yet. Got to do that. But his home was dropped from $16.9 million to $13.9 million. And they said now it's more affordable and more in the range with what prices should be in California. $13.9 million. However, it does have an 8,400-square-foot home, has 8 bedrooms, 9.5 baths, a gourmet kitchen, a formal dining room. It has a wine cellar and a master suite with dual baths, because we couldn't possibly be in the same bathroom if we're celebrities. It has a private balcony and fireplace. And get this, Jamie, the grounds has a new putting green, a pool and a spa, a horse stables, corrals, and private horse riding and hiking trails. So you get your own trails. And it's right across from Will Rogers State Park, where you can go on trails for hours at a time. So there it is. It's been dropped in price.
A couple things here. Do you think that they are selling this home because Dennis Quaid hasn't been in a movie in like 15 years?
Did you look at his picture? I didn't even recognize him in his picture.
Well, people get older, Glenn. But I just think that Dennis, I'm going to let me find out what was the last movie he was in that we've even heard of. Dennis Quaid was born in Houston, Texas. Son of an electrician. Let's get to the movies. Let's see here. Oh, my gosh. They're remaking Footloose?
You've got to be kidding, because it was so good the first time.
He's playing the Reverend in the remake of Footloose. It's in post-production right now. It should come out sometime later this year. Holy
cow. Oh, my God.
Okay. Dennis has a role.
You think they're selling the property because they can't afford to stay there anymore because he hasn't had roles? You think that's part of it?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
but
totally.
You know why he's selling the property? If he gets 13, if he even gets $10 million, he's going to make a huge ton of money on this. He bought it in 1999 for $1.8 million.
Oh, so, yeah, but it says they put a lot of money into it. They've redone everything and bought other properties around to have the trails and everything. I don't know. Good luck to him. That's for sure. I'd like to. I'll take it. I'll take 2.
Oh, Jennifer, found the ride at Stratosphere. if you're near a computer, go to our Facebook page, and she just posted the ride at Stratosphere with it hanging off the edge. I have pictures, too, from the day I was there. I'll have to post. Sorry. You can do the whip for that, too, because I just noticed the picture.
Are you kidding me? Okay, that's a little bit much for me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Those people
have
their hands up, for God's sake.
Those people have a death wish. And the other roller coaster's fun. This one's terrible.
We are so off the rails today. Hey, how about a cute baby?
Cute baby alert. Cute baby alert.
Yesterday, for those that missed the show, Jamie thought that this little, ugly, slimy hippopotamus was the cutest baby she'd ever seen, so we posted pictures of that. Nice. But then she also found this video of these really cute little elephants. So we posted, and I thought they were really cute, thought the hippo was kind of slimy. And then we posted on Facebook, and it looks like I won because more people like the elephants than the hippo.
Glenn, if you read back a little bit, it is a bit of a tie. And I didn't realize it was a competition between you and me to see who liked which baby animal. I posted both of them. So, really, I'm the winner.
Okay, but no, you're not, because today we are going to post the cutest baby ever. Jennifer's going to post it right now on Facebook. It's just the cutest baby ever. I found this picture, and this was out of England, I believe, the UK. And it's a little Dalmatian baby. It is so cute. Now, I mean a Dalmatian horsey baby because it's crossbred pony, and they weren't expecting spots when they did this, and this baby popped out with spots. Let me tell you, Mama has none. Mama has no white at all. But this cute little thing looks like a Dalmatian dog, and Jennifer's going to post, and you just tell me that ain't the cutest baby ever.
Glenn, I'm sorry. I think that it's a cute baby, but it is definitely not as cute as the elephant or the baby hippo. It's a spotted foal. I mean, it's way cute, and its little eyeliners are awesome, but I don't know. I'm just thinking. It looks
you
a little
like
bit like the horse.
Dalmatian baby?
I do. I just want to win. I'm competitive.
You were just about to get 100 emails there.
Well, while you're posting that and people are commenting on what a cute baby it is, because all babies are cute, apparently that's what we learned yesterday, was it's just part of our nature as primates to like other babies, so we take care of it. I got a little bit of a Belmont update. Now, I believe, Glenn, that you said in the past couple of days that the Belmont Stakes this year doesn't matter, it's boring, nobody cares. Is that kind of what I got from you?
Yeah, but now you spruced it up a little bit yesterday, saying there might be a rematch from the Timonium race.
Yes, as far as Shackelford goes, of course, who won the Preakness, the connections of him said that the decision will be made after he breezes on June 4th, but all indications right now are good. So that's one thing. Yesterday, let me find the story here. Mucho Macho Man was confirmed to run in the Belmont Stakes as well. So our horse, Mucho Macho Man, is going to run. He had some blood work done. They checked him out. He's good to go, completely healthy and ready.
I hope they need to take those shoes. They need to glue them on, nail them on, staple them on, put boots over top of them, whatever they can to keep those shoes on his feet.
Yeah, and also they did something else interesting. They changed jockeys. There's going to be, they changed jockeys. And again, it's going to be Ramon Dominguez. He gets the mount on Mucho Macho Man. Obviously, Rajiv Marath. The Ibar Koa, the guy that really started riding Mucho Macho Man, was in an injury off a fall of another horse. So he couldn't ride anymore. So then they got Rajiv Marath. He rode him in his last four starts. He won the Risen Star Stakes and then never came higher than third, obviously, in the Louisiana Derby, the Kentucky Derby, and the Preakness. He's losing shoes. So they just, fresh start, got a whole new jockey. Ramon Dominguez gets the mount. Of course, he won an Eclipse Award last year. So he's pretty hot. So maybe that's going to help our little friend Mucho Macho Man. And also, of course, you know, they do have Animal Kingdom, as we announced yesterday, on the way to the Preakness. This is turning out of the Belmont. So this is turning out to be an awesome, awesome race. And again, it's going to happen on June 11th. That's going to be the Belmont Stakes, Animal Kingdom, Shackleford, Mucho Macho Man, all three of them coming back for the third. I think it's awesome.
I think it's sounding fun now. It's actually getting better. I think people might even watch it this year.
Yeah, you know what, Glenn? I had a conversation with my husband last night, and I told him that you were not excited at all about the Belmont. And he's like, okay, that's like the Triple Crown of horse racing. That's the third race in the Triple Crown. That's like the Golf Channel saying they didn't want to cover the Masters. He's like, you have to cover that. There's only three Triple Crown races, and you're the Horse Channel. You have to cover that. I'm like, I know. He's like, oh, welcome to the Golf Channel. We're not going to talk about the Masters because we think it's boring.
Because Tiger Woods isn't anymore. So now, Jennifer, why don't you see if you can get Patty on? We talked to her before every one of the other races. Patty is the owner of Mucho Macho Man. So why don't we see if we can get Patty on next week after she's headed to New York. That'll be fun.
Got to find out the latest in footwear for her.
That's right. We got to see what she's wearing in New York.
We know about Mucho.
That's the latest. All right. Well, we're going to watch the race for somewhere in Memphis. We'll be at a bar in Memphis eating beef brisket, thinking about Jamie having her tofu, and we'll be watching the race. I promise, Jamie.
You better watch it. I'm going to quiz you on it afterwards. You even need to watch the pre-race stuff where they talk about all the dramatic stories and all that. You're in. I'm going to quiz you.
By the way, Jamie, if you don't want to ruin your day, don't bother looking at Facebook and all the comments that are coming in on the cutest Dalmatian baby ever.
I didn't say it's not cute, Glenn. I just said it's not as cute as the baby elephants playing in the pool or as cute as the pygmy baby hippo.
All right. You had the baby elephants up there yesterday. Well, did you see that they used an elephant to help clean up in the Joplin, over in Joplin where they had the tornadoes? Yeah, they were using an elephant. There was a circus. The Piccadilly Circus apparently was in town, and they were using the elephant from the circus to move heavy debris. And there's a video, and they show the video, the elephant pulling cars out of the debris. Just gives you an idea of how strong baby elephants are. So, and of course, that caused all the PETA people to come out of the woodwork and say it was mean and cruel. Why couldn't they just use tractors? And it was, you know, that whole story. And that. You know, what was supposed to be a, look, they're using the helmets or the elephants to help, turned into, oh, my God, they're torturing the elephants. So it was, you can't win.
I can't comment on that because they're kind of right.
Yeah,
you shouldn't
win.
Be in the circus in the first place. There should be no circus animals ever, okay? It's terrible. But, sorry, Karen, continue. That's not what this is about.
And then a couple other stories here we wanted to go over with you today. One was that I got the latest email update from the NCHA, the National Cutting Horse Association. They have, again, canceled because of the EHV1 virus. They have canceled all of their shows through this weekend as well. They're doing it weekend by weekend, and they have elected to cancel 25 shows across the country this weekend. So they're still staying proactive in trying to keep this disease from spreading any further. Of course, that's where it started, was with the cutting horse, so they have to be a little more proactive.
You know, Glenn, I am amazingly impressed on how this whole thing was handled. You know, it just seems to me like everybody jumped in. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. I know my vet had a talk with the barn and said, 3 weeks. Just don't go anywhere for 3 weeks. And by God, nobody has, you know. And it's just interesting the way that they contained it, the way they got the word out so much, and how, you know, the horses that are affected, of the, I think we read 75 horses, 11 horses died, and all 75 of those, for the most part, I believe, had contact with the horse at the cutting show. So these people, they went to this cutting show, their horses came down with the virus, they went home, they didn't know it, and then other horses got it. But then they contained it. This could have been everywhere. This could have been the next weekend they go to shows again, and the next weekend everybody goes to shows. It just goes to show you how the horse world can come together when the horses are on the line. I'm amazingly impressed at how everybody responded and everybody jumped right in. Everybody wanted to get educated on it, and everybody did something about it.
Yeah, and they did. I agree with you totally. I think this one was handled well, and I think new media helped that. I think it wasn't for Facebook and Twitter and all the new media outlets out there, the word just doesn't get out about this kind of stuff. You know, in the past, it would happen all the time at tracks and things, and nobody would ever know about it. So
yeah,
I think that's where new media does a good
it.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, we've never had that opportunity before, and I think that's where new media can really do some good. What else here? Oh, the other thing that was affected by the virus, what do you call it again? You have a name.
Let's see, Herpes Watch 2011, the Herp Watch.
Yeah, Herp Watch. Well, the other thing affected by Herp Watch was, and we did an interview last year, I think it was on the Stable Scoop Show, about the Pony Express ride that heads from, they head from St. Joseph, Missouri, to Sacramento every year to reenact the famous Pony Express ride. And it's 32 years they've been doing this ride. A group of them head out and do that ride. Well, they're postponing it this year because of the virus. Neither rain nor sleet nor sorry about that. Nor snow could keep Pony Express riders from their appointed rounds, except for EHB1.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Do you think that the people that were supposed to ride their horses at a run across the country are relieved? Like, oh, thank God, I don't have to do that this year. I'm exhausted.
And, you know, they really take this seriously. There's apparently a Pony Express museum where they start from. The National Pony Express Association is where they start from. I think they have a little museum there. And they are real. This is a big deal, and it's covered in all the press out there, and they cover 9 states. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool ride. But now they're going to do it August the 17th through the 27th. Probably 10 of the hottest days in the Midwest to the West is when they're going to do the Pony Express ride this year. And they actually do carry real mail, and they have a way where you can submit your letter, and it'll get postmarked from this place in St. Joseph, Missouri, and it will be carried to Sacramento in the Pony Express bag. Pretty cool.
Of course, then you have to mail it to somebody in Sacramento, and what if you don't know anybody in Sacramento? Well, Glenn, my next story is I want to tell you about the day that two idiots met. The day that two idiots met is the day that Steve Martin, the actor, paid $850,000 for a painting. It was a horse painting. It was supposed to be from the year 1915. A German newspaper, Der Spiegel, reports that Martin was one of the victims in what is calling it one of Germany's biggest art forgery scandals of all time. How many art forgery scandals has Germany had to say this is the biggest one? I don't know. However, the forgery in question was a copy of the 1915 work by German-Dutch modernist painter Heinrich Kampendonk, entitled Landschaft mit Pferden, or Landscape with Horses. How's my German? Pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, pretty awesome. It sounds the same as your Italian and your French.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Martin bought the work from a Paris gallery for about $850,000 in 2004. Idiot number one, spending $850,000 on a stupid painting. Then here's the second idiot. There's actually three. The second idiot is the guy who paid $500,000 for that painting when Martin sold it through a Christie's auction. So we've got idiot number one, Steve Martin, paying $850,000, then losing $350,000 on it through Christie's. Then you've got the idiot who paid for it through Christie's. Then the smart people are the ones that forged it. This was not even a real painting by that guy at all. It was a complete fake. They didn't even know it until about recently. They've been doing all this, getting all the information together and finding all these paintings. And Steve Martin says he is unsure right now where his liability lays in this stage, but he could get in some big trouble for selling a fake painting, even though he says he didn't know it was a fake painting.
I'm sorry, when you look at the painting, my gosh, I wouldn't pay $5 for it.
Really? I haven't seen the painting yet. I'm going to look at it right.
Oh, look it up. What style is that, Jennifer? You're the painter. Impressionist?
Oh, that's hideous. It looks like a bad Picasso. Landscape of horses?
The horses are all out of shape and not proportioned correctly, and it's odd.
Okay, post that link. Can you do it, or can I? You want me to do post that on our Facebook page right now so people can see how awful. I mean, it'd be pretty if it was like, you know, $5, like you said. Okay, I'm going to post that right now for everybody to see. You got to go on and look at this painting. Some idiot, Steve Martin, paid $850,000 for it, and another idiot paid $500,000 for it, and both of them were idiots in the end because it was fake.
So over $1 million has been blown on a fake painting of really ugly horses. All right, let's take a break. We got the Chronicle Report coming up, so let's take a break for our song of the day. You were complaining yesterday that my song was too slow.
Ugh, exhausting.
All right, well, we're going to fix that right now.
What you got, boy? He's got a devil of a fool and his eyes all red. Got his leathers and stuff tight as it don't get. He ain't found nothing that'll throw him yet. Feels a little better when he's out on the edge. Like a Tarantino movie running through his head. He ain't gonna sleep again until he's dead. He's gonna fly. Keep the crowd screaming everywhere that I go. Everybody's rocking when they see me rodeo. Well, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I've come a long, long way with this bad attitude. I want to hold through my soul of my cowgirl riding boots. I'm gonna fly just as high as I want to.
you go. That's Stop Till You Drop by Trish Lynn. You can find all of her music at trishlynn.com. And, of course, she's a busy girl right now because they're out there in the middle of rodeo season. Rodeos are going in full swing all across the country right now. And I know Alan, our friend on the Western Radio Show, is busy doing all of his thing, too, out there announcing at the rodeos. This year, listening to Horses in the Morning, I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Jennifer H. is producing today, and we are sponsored this show by Audible.com. For all of your listening pleasure, visit Audible.com, 85,000 different books you can listen to. And we're going to be back here with the Chronicle Report very shortly, and then the dramatic reading of Black Beauty by Jamie Jennings, which, if I don't say this, her mother is going to be really mad at me, is absolutely the most fascinating part of our program from now until she finally finishes the book in 3 years.
Thank God you learn. Thank God you can learn. Who says you can't train men? See, all it takes is my mama yelling at you, and then you come back around. So I appreciate it, Mom. Thank you so much for calling in and being part of my show and telling my boss to shove it, basically.
That's funny. That's funny. All right, we're waiting for the Chronicle at this point to show up. I read an interesting thing this morning, and I wanted to ask you. I'll give you a quiz here. This is a little quiz. Is what do you think employees, what website do employees visit at work the most? Facebook, okay, is the first option. Google search, or YouTube?
I think I know the answer to this one. I would think, as much as I would like to say Google, because I visit Google more than Facebook, I would think Facebook is, because I know people that work in cubicles that sit on Facebook all day long.
They just did a study, and they found that Facebook is used twice as much as Google, and YouTube is in third. Twice as much now. Get this. You're going to love this. 4.5% of all bandwidth of all companies, company bandwidth, that's how much internet is used in a company, is Facebook.
Holy cow, do you think that, the bosses have got to be mad about this.
Yeah, they're not happy. A lot of businesses now are blocking Facebook, and, you know, they're just trying to do everything they can to keep people off of Facebook. And then, you know what was really odd? Is when is the last time you thought about Yahoo?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, exactly. They're fifth of the most used websites. That's got to be for personal email, because a lot of people still use their personal email at Yahoo. That's got to be. Who goes to Yahoo?
What's fourth?
Fourth was, I'm looking here, I don't think I even have what fourth was. It was some odd thing, too. It wasn't something that I even knew about, which told me that it was maybe a foreign thing, a foreign website that people visit, but I don't have fourth here. But there you go, Facebook twice as popular as Google nowadays at work. And then I would say, you know what was really amazing about all of this? It's Horses in the Morning with Eighth.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm sure it was.
But I do want to say, and we're going to get to the Chronicle Report right now, we have another, and I'm just going to throw this in here right now because he deserves it. We have a belated Daily Winnie that goes out to another guy listener, John Clay. Wrote me a note this morning, and he says, I love your radio show. Thank you, John. We appreciate you listening. Another guy on my side.
Glenn, I would probably say that it's some chick writing in for using her husband's email.
I think it's a guy. I'm sticking with that because there's actually a picture of him jumping a horse. So I'm kind of convinced it's a guy. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to Megan. Megan is joining us, our favorite intern from the Chronicle of the Horse. She is
Hi, guys. That's so nice.
Hi. Is everything good over in Virginia today?
It is. It's a beautiful day here in Virginia, and I'm saying it is gorgeous, and there's a little bit of a breeze, and the weather is really important to me because I've been out on the road the last 2 days at the Devon Horse Show in Pennsylvania, and it was sweltering. I mean, unbearable heat. Everyone, it just was so bad. No breeze, really humid.
You're not getting any sympathy from Jamie, by the way.
Oh, well, probably not, but I feel like I can at least complain about it a little bit because I'm still recovering.
What's your temperature today, Jamie?
I think the high is going to be 103.
Where are you,
so
Jamie?
Not bad.
Phoenix.
I'm in Phoenix.
Yeah, but see, is Phoenix no humidity? Is that right?
No, yeah, don't go there. Don't say dry heat or we're going to get a lecture.
Okay.
So
oh, my God.
I've never been there, so I can't even say.
103 is 103 anywhere. It
okay, all right.
Here.
I'll take that.
Bright sun, it will scald your brain, okay?
Yeah, I think my brain got a little scalded the last couple of days.
Did you know that, they started making helmets with little air conditioners for people that live in Phoenix?
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Good thing, good thing, Megan.
For $400 a month, you can afford to run it.
Yeah, or you could just stay inside when it gets too hot. I don't know, one of those things.
She's getting better. You know, it used to be we could pull one over on the interns, but we can't do that. They're getting better now.
I told you. Actually, I guess I still technically am, but, you know, my 5 months here have really given me a lot of insight into how to talk to you guys on horses in the morning correctly. So now that I've graduated from my intern status, I still want to keep the title Megan the Intern because I think it's catchy. But
you know what? Jamie, they're all grown up now. They're all growing up.
We got a new intern here in the office. She started last week, I think. And then the other intern that was here with me, her last day is tomorrow. And then this other summer intern starts in June, and so that means I'm all grown up.
You're the old one now. You're like the veteran.
I am. I'm the veteran intern.
So what are we talking about today there, Megan?
Well, Jennifer suggested we talk about a day in the life of Megan Blackburn, which I thought was absolutely a hysterical idea, considering there's a lot of funny things that happen in my life as a Megan Blackburn who works for the Chronicle, and I'm happy to share it with the world out there.
Ooh, this is juicy. Are we getting all the juicy parts too?
No, there are all the juicy parts. Well, I mean, I can give you, you know, basically, you know, like I said, I was at Devon the last couple of days, and you know, normally when we go on assignment to cover a horse show, it's to cover maybe like the Hunter Derby or cover the Grand Prix or cover an event. And we, you know, we go there and we shoot, you know, we shoot photos and then we talk to the winners and then we post online coverage each day. And then, you know, usually when we get back to the office after the weekend, our deadline's that Wednesday for our magazine story. But this time we went up to Devon, Kara, the other intern, and I, and our assignment was to do a video tour of Devon and a video tour by speaking to, like, the top riders and asking them, like, what's their favorite Devon memory and, you know, just little bits and stuff like that, which was a lot of fun because I think for a lot of things, it was something different that we hadn't really done before, and you get to get out there and talk to people, and, you know, it's not so technical, like, and what did you feel like when you missed your lead, and, you know, and how did that kind of thing, you just kind of could talk to them, and so, you know, we got there on, we drove up on, when was it? I've been really lost with these days this week because of Memorial Day, but Tuesday, and we got the rental car and took us, you know, easily an hour and a half to 2 hours longer than it should have with all the traffic. So we're just plugging away, making our plan for the day. But we hadn't planned on it being nearly a heat index of 100 degrees. And I also hadn't really factored that in when I was supposed to be on camera all day. And so the end result of all of these videos is, you know, there's a lot of sweat involved. There's a lot of shiny foreheads and not looking as composed as you should have. But, you know, it's all in the fun of it.
Sweaty
interns.
Everybody loves sweaty interns.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, you're to be a sweaty intern's probably better than to be a sweaty staff writer, just because they're like, oh, they're interns.
That's
but,
right.
They,
see, you can get forgiven. You better enjoy this intern status because you get forgiven for anything you do wrong.
You're right. I know. I've already thought this through. Trust me.
Oh yeah, because when you're getting paid, you have to like be responsible. Except for Jamie.
Yeah. Well, we're pretty responsible interns. I have to say that. Of course, they wouldn't send us out on our own if they didn't think we were responsible. But we do like to have fun on assignment. So we talked to, through the course of 2 days, we talked to McLean Ward, and we talked to Jennifer Alfano, and we talked to Tucker Johnson. He was there at Devon Driving this year, and he was a really fun interview. He's a very personable guy, and I'd never spoken with him before, and he's fun. You know, he's kind of when you're stepping into that situation, really. It was more of a walk around and grab the people that you recognize, and you know, is it opportune moment for them? Are they not waiting to go in the ring with their horse? Are they just, you know, do they have a moment to themselves that they could answer a question for 30 seconds? So Tucker just won his class for the evening, and he was standing around out back, and we chatted, and he was great. He was really funny. It's nice to stand and talk to somebody that you can kind of, you know, joke around and play off their words. So he was a good interview. And you'll have to you don't know anything about
about
having
joking
fun.
And playing around and having fun. Yeah.
No, I figured you didn't. So that's why I was.
Tucker is a good guy, though.
Yeah. So we talked to him, and then we did a little tour of like the Devon Fudge. We talked to her, and would you believe that this year they have made 1,555 pounds of fudge for the show, and they will sell it all. Like, that is a lot of fudge.
That's a lot of fudge.
Yes. And then we did a tour. I did a tour of the tea cart, which is famous there. We got to try the tea sandwiches. And so basically what's going to happen is we did all this, and then we did a photo gallery of all the vendors and the shops and stuff there, which is some of them are just completely unique to Devon. And so all of those are going to go up online in a photo gallery. And then in our Chronicle Connection, which is the digital edition, we also shot like Devon fashion, so they'll be in the fashion pages there, and then the videos will be edited to do video tours of Devon. So you know, all that work is, now that we're back in the office, that's what's going on here, and it'll take a day or two, but it's fun work, and it definitely makes us laugh again, because you know, those videos, seeing yourself on camera and all the slip ups and all that kind of stuff is pretty funny. But
so there's going to be a blooper reel?
I always make a blooper reel, because that's what gets us through the heart. You know, those days where you're like, oh, it's only 2:30. You know, you're like, oh, you're so tired. And then you can watch your little blooper reel, and it gives you a second wind.
Well, last time we talked to you, I believe you had broke a camera while you were out there. So is that part of the blooper reel? Can we find that online?
Yes, you can. I wrote a blog about it. If you go to our website and pretty much click on my name under any of the articles I've written, you can see. I think this blog is titled Confessions of an Unlucky Intern. And so that is the blog about that weekend. And then there is a then there's a video confession of me taking the camera to get repaired. So you can find that there.
Jennifer watched it, and she said she thought it was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, the best part is I was in the car, and I had, like, set the flip camera up on the dashboard, which really you shouldn't like, try to videotape yourself as you're driving a rental car. But I can, you know, said, well, I'm on the road to get the camera fixed, and then the flip camera fell over. So I had to, like, cut that out, but it was, like, a crash, and you could hear me talking in the background. But
yeah, there's no lying about that. I didn't do it. Edit that footage. Yeah, there's no way around that.
It's good. Good times. We rode the Ferris wheel a couple times at Devon. We did interviews from the Ferris wheel, so... there's a carousel riding. Yeah,
really
there's a lot
to do interviews. That's fun.
It was fun, you know, and the thing that I think is the greatest about this weekend is, you know, it's something new we're trying because I personally never mind, you know, kind of walking up to people and saying, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. Would you mind answering a couple of questions? Because I think the problem, one of the big problems, and I know plenty of people have written about it, is that we don't have a personal enough relationship with our top athletes in the sport. You know, we don't often get to see them talking, you know, on camera. They don't get interviews after the big game, you know, like NBA stars or anything like that. So I think it's kind of neat to do something like that and to answer questions that are, you know, like, what's your favorite Devon food? And somebody say, like, oh, like, I had so hard to resist the fudge here. Or, you know, or just something like you wouldn't know that they're little things. And so it's nice to see them on camera. And everybody was just really nice about, you know, stepping up. And we didn't warn them beforehand. It wasn't like, we're going to come up at the show and talk to you. It was, hey, you know, do you have a second or two? So I'm excited about
this. I think that's the best kind, too. You can kind of stalk your, you know, the riders. And we definitely had a fun time doing that at Rolex, too. It's like, hey, can I talk to you right now on the air?
Yeah, so right.
It's very
fun.
And,
but I said, do you have 30 seconds to answer a couple questions or a question on camera? And everyone, of course, was like, yes, but, oh, I look so terrible because everyone was so sweaty, you know. And I was like, yeah, well, at least you have a reason for looking terrible. Like, you just jumped, you know, like a huge class. I just look sweaty because it's hot out here and I've been walking around.
We appreciate you. We're running out of time right now, Megan, but it is awesome to talk to you again, Megan, and the website cronfhorse.com, and you can just click on her name and find her blog and all her articles. And now graduated, congrats from intern to employee. Enjoy that world. Yay!
Thank you, guys.
Now right, we'll there's responsibility. Keep that in mind.
I'm keeping it in mind.
Okay. We'll see you, Megan.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
She's so cute.
She's so cute. No. Very sweet.
Well, are you prepared? Do you have it out?
Of course I do.
Do you have it
all
open?
All the time. Yep.
And we are beginning, am I correct in assuming we are beginning chapter 2, saying you did chapter 1 yesterday?
Yep.
I'm not sure why, but you're going to, it's not there.
Stop.
Just
don't
hold
have
on
the
a
music?
Second. I'm going to upload it right now, but it doesn't appear to be there. I don't know. I didn't take it down, and I don't see it, so. All right. I don't want your mom mad at me. I'm going to upload the music here. Hold on.
I'll talk amongst myself here.
Yeah, you talk to Jennifer for a minute.
Jennifer, my mom,
this is
so
one of the, this is one of the most unorganized shows we have ever done.
Listen, you focus on what you're doing. You're having a really hard time focusing today, and I need you to concentrate because my mom is going to be really mad at you because she really liked the music thing. She thought it was great. She said it was a good point. Let's see. What can I do the news story here of changing light bulb breed style? No, I don't want to talk about that. Glenn, I'm going to start reading without you.
I'm coming. It's uploading now. We're unloading.
So not only does Glenn have to check the sound level of each thing, now we're going to have a checklist for having all the right files, too.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that the system we used was having issues this morning, and almost every file I tried to upload, I had to do about 6 times.
Yeah, sure.
So
I'm a technology.
It was a technological problem this morning. Okay, so now it's processing. So it's getting itself together, and it's such a long file because we need so much music to play 10 minutes worth of this wonderful book. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, just say yes, ma'am, and know
yes, ma'am.
Your role.
I am. So yesterday, why don't you just explain for everybody who missed yesterday's show what exactly we're doing every day at this hour?
Well, it was brought to my attention that Glenn and Jennifer, neither one of these people have read the book Black Beauty. How do you not read the book Black Beauty? I do not know, but how do you grow up being a horse person not having read the book Black Beauty? So we cast a vote online, and it was like 99-1 saying that they wanted me to read it on the air. So what I'm doing at the beginning part of this is reading individual chapters. Yesterday, if you would like a little bit of a recap, we read My Early Home, Chapter 1. And it talks about how he was a young bull running around with his mother, learning to eat grass, you know, all that kind of stuff. Of course, Black Beauty, because you guys don't know, it is told from the perspective of the horse. This is classic novel. It was first published by Anna Sewell in 1877. So it is timeless.
It's kind of like a black and white book.
It's like a, yeah, sure. Okay, that works. Are you ready yet?
It's ready. Are you ready?
Okay.
I just want to point something out too, that the person doing the introduction here is the famous Nigel Castley, who does the announcing at the Rolex 3-day event here in Kentucky. And when I called him and asked him to do this after he was done laughing, he said that he is English now. Keep that in mind. English. You hear it in his voice. Never read Black Beauty. Just thought I'd say.
Just say yes, ma'am, and play the thing.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Before I was 2 years old, a circumstance happened which I've never forgotten. It was early in the spring, and there had been a little frost in the night, and a light mist still hung over the plantations and meadows. I and the other colts were feeding at the lower part of the field when we heard quite in the distance what sounded like the cry of dogs. The oldest of the colts raised his head, pricked his ears, and said, "There are the hounds," and immediately cantered off, followed by the rest of us to the upper part of the field where we could look over the hedge and see several fields beyond. My mother and an old riding horse of our master's were also standing near, and they seemed to know all about it. "They have found a hare," said my mother, "and if they come this way, we shall see the hunt." And soon the dogs were all tearing down the field of young wheat next to ours. I never heard such a noise as they made. They did not bark, nor howl, nor whine, but kept on a yoo, 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 yoo at the top of their voices. After them came a number of men on horseback, some of them in green coats, all galloping as fast as they could. The old horse snorted and looked eagerly after them, and we young colts wanted to be galloping with them, but they were soon away in the fields lower down. Here it seemed as if they had come to a stand. The dogs left off barking and ran about every way with their noses on the ground. "They have lost the scent," said the old horse. "Perhaps the hare will get off." "What hare?" I said. "Oh, I don't know what hare. Likely enough to be one of our own hares from the plantation. Any hare they can find will do for the men and dogs to run after." And before long, the dogs began their yo, yo, yo again, and back they all came together at full speed, making straight for our meadow at the part where the high bank and hedge overhang the brook. "Now we shall see the hare," said my mother, and just then a hare, wild with fright, rushed by and made for the plantation. On came the dogs. They burst over the bank, leapt the stream, and came dashing across the field, followed by the huntsmen. 6 or 8 men leapt their horses clean over, close upon the dogs. The hare tried to get through the fence, but it was too thick, and she turned sharp round to make for the road, but it was too late. The dogs were upon her with their wild cries. We heard one shriek, and that was the end of her. One of the huntsmen rode up and whipped off the dogs, and soon would have torn her to pieces. He held her up by the leg, torn and bleeding, and all the gentlemen seemed well pleased.
God, Peter must love this book.
As for me, I was so astonished that I did not first see what was going on by the brook, but when I did look, there was a sad sight. 2 fine horses were down, one was struggling in the stream, and the other was groaning in the grass. One of the riders was getting out of the water covered with mud, and the other lay quite still. "His neck is broken," said my mother. "And serve him right, too," said one of the colts. I thought the same, but my mother did not join in with us. "Well, no," she said, "you must not say that. But though I am an old horse, I have seen and heard a great deal, and never yet could make out why men are so fond of this sport. They often hurt themselves, often spoil good horses, and tear up the fields, all for a hare, a fox, a stag, that they could more easily get some other way. But we are only horses, and we don't know. Whilst my mother was saying this, we stood and looked on. Many of the riders had gone to the young man, but my master, who had been watching what was going on, was the first to raise him. His head fell back and his arms hung down, and everybody looked very serious. There was no noise now. Even the dogs were quiet and seemed to know that something was wrong. They carried him to our master's house, and I heard afterwards that it was young George Gordon, the squire's only son, a fine, tall young man and the pride of his family. There was now riding off in all directions to the doctors, to the farriers, and no doubt to Squire Gordon to let him know about his son. When Mr. Bond, the farrier, came to look at the black horse that lay groaning on the grass, he felt him all over and shook his head. One of his legs was broken. Then someone ran to our master's house and came back with a gun. Presently, there was a loud bang, a dreadful shriek. Then all was still. The black horse moved no more. My mother seemed much troubled, and she said she had known that horse for years, and that his name was Rob Roy. He was a good, bold horse, and there was no vice in him. She said she would never go to that part of the field afterwards. Not many days after, we heard the church bell tolling for a long time, and looking over the gate, we saw a large, strange black coach that was covered with black cloth and was drawn by black horses. And after that came another and another. They were all black, while the bell kept tolling and tolling. They were carrying young Gordon to the churchyard to bury him. He would never ride again. What they did with Rob Roy, I never knew, but 'twas all for one little hare. The end.
This is the most depressing book I've ever heard in the second chapter. We've just
That's
killed,
chapter
we've
two.
Had violent death of bunny rabbits. We've had, by the way, she called them dogs several times and they're hounds. We've had the horse died. We had people die. This is the second chapter. Is there a nuclear explosion in about the fifth chapter?
Glenn, I would think you being a man would like the death and destruction associated with chapter two. Isn't that what you guys all go to movies for? Let's see some violence. Let's see some craziness. Let's see some people get shot, okay? That all happened in chapter two.
Wow. Peter must hate this book.
PETA's going to love it. It's setting us up, Glenn. It's only chapter two, setting us up for more. It was fantastic, okay. And I think I did a great job reading it. So just say yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
fantastic.
Ma'am. Here, I'll even give you that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for staying with us despite the reading. We're glad you're – oh, no, yes, ma'am. Thank you for staying with us until the lovely reading was over of the death and destruction of Big Roy or whatever his name was. See, I was sort of paying attention.
Maybe. Tomorrow, chapter three, my breaking in. Mm-hmm. Training begins.
People are going to be waiting for that. Can we do that on Fridays? Or do we have to skip it on Fridays because of really bad ads?
I think we can do it on Fridays. We'll just do it earlier. We'll just do it earlier in the day. It's perfect. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. Thanks so much to our guests from the Chronicle. Thanks to my mama for calling in and being a part of the show and scolding my boss / co-host. So I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. Listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Also, you can listen to us, search for us on Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page. How many Facebook friends do we have now? Do we have 2,500 yet?
No, we're still seven short.
Seven short. So we've gained one. There we go.
Are you done now?
We need seven more. Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. I notice you've taken over the end of the show because you just don't trust me anymore, especially when my ADD kicks in.
Let's continue.
All right. How about with this?